In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The other day, I took an Uber, and as soon as I'd gotten in the car, the driver said something that made me know she was a Christian. I'm not sure what it was, but whenever someone cracks the door, as in they suggest they might be open to talking about God, I tend to push that door right on open and walk through with great vigor. Call me overeager, but in this case, it worked out. I offered my Uber driver an analogy about cars and faith. So he had just pulled onto the highway, and I said, "You know, I once heard that following God's will is a bit like easing over to the right lane of a multi-lane interstate. You prepare for the exit God wants you to take, and then once you arrive, you have a smooth transition onto the off-ramp. Alternatively, you can fail to prepare. You can procrastinate and then have to cut across four lanes of traffic at the last second in a state of panic and stress. Or you can flat out resist, miss the exit altogether, and then really be in trouble." Now, my Uber driver liked this analogy. It went over well. She liked it so much that in response, she essentially preached me a sermon about all the things she has learned about God through driving for Uber. If I had pushed open the door to a conversation about faith, well, she ripped the door right off its hinges. So here are a few highlights from her sermon. "God is my source," she said. "All I have to do is turn on the app every morning." And for those who might need an explanatory note, she was comparing the app that connects her to God with Google Maps, which tells her where to go when she's driving passengers around the city. However, she continued, still comparing the voice of God to Google Maps, "you can't just look and listen for the next turn. You have to keep the larger picture in mind. Keep your destination in mind. Also, keep in mind that the way you went last time might not be the way you go this time to get to the same place." Her point there, what worked the first time might not work the second time. Living a life of faith is not formulaic. And finally, "go the speed limit," she said. "Stand in obedience. Don't do dumb things like going with the flow of traffic if the flow of traffic is breaking the law. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean you should too. Stand in obedience, and you won't deal with any nonsense. God will protect you and get you where you need to go." Amen, sister. So there you have it. Following Jesus is like being a responsible Uber driver. Now, I know some or perhaps all of what I've just said might strike you as a little overdone or a little too cute, but there are some nuggets of wisdom in there, yes? Stand in obedience is my favorite. Unless you think I'm done with the car analogies, I actually have one more. But I'll give you a break from that in the moment, and I'll circle back to it. For now, let's turn to our gospel passage in John. The scene is the Last Supper, and Jesus is ministering to his disciples. He's already washed their feet. He has given them the new commandment to love one another as he has loved them. And now he seeks to offer consolation and assurance before he goes to the cross. He says he goes to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. He says they know the way because he is the way, but they don't get it. And understandably so. Jesus foretells his death in the Gospels a number of times, but he never speaks quite plainly enough. So his disciples don't realize he's going to die, much less come back and then ascend into heaven. Nevertheless, Jesus is saying to them and to John's first century readers and to us today that really he's not going anywhere. Yes, he will prepare a place for them and us in heaven, which he will accomplish through his death and resurrection. That's why the gospel passage we hear today is the one most popular for funerals. But Jesus is saying more than that. His promise is about living with God in the here and now, not just in the afterlife. So how do we live with God in the here and now? Well, the answer is this verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this is probably one of the most familiar yet ill-used verses in Scripture. It's often cited by our Christian brothers and sisters who believe that only Christians go to heaven. And the way you get there is by confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I would posit that Jesus is saying the exact opposite. He has already opened the gate to everlasting life for all people, all religions, whether you confess him as Lord or not. I have a funny story pertaining to this point of disagreement between the Episcopal Church and some more theologically conservative churches. Yesterday, I met a pastor of a non-denominational church who was interested in renting our sanctuary. And this pastor and I discovered that we both had attended Yale Divinity School, albeit nearly 20 years apart. He graduated in 1991. And he said, there were a lot of Episcopalians when I was there. We called them Episcopagans. Episcopagans! Hilarious, right? Not to mention a great first impression from a business standpoint, truly. But back to the words of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is in following Jesus' way, Jesus' truth, and Jesus' life that enable us to know God. God the Father is known in the face of God the Son. Jesus' way was one of love, faith and prayer, acceptance of others and rejection of sin. His truth was that everyone is a precious child of God, which makes us family and accountable to one another. His life was lived in service of other people, not in a subservient kind of way, but in a sacrificial kind of way, giving away his power. Giving of himself when he didn't have to. You want to know God? You want to come to the Father, Jesus says? You'll get there by following my way, learning my truth, and living as closely as you can to my life. Now, I want to focus in on Jesus as the way, and this means it's time for me to get back to that final car analogy. Now, earlier, I talked a good deal about Google Maps, the app on our smartphone for driving directions and walking directions, for that matter. You can use Google Maps if you get lost in Central Park, which has happened to me more than once. Well, what makes Google Maps work is GPS, Global Positioning System. And do you remember when GPS first came out, or at least first became mainstream? It was 2007. I was living in New York at the time, not doing much driving, but soon I moved to Connecticut and I jumped on the bandwagon. I bought a Garmin. That was the most popular brand for a GPS device. And one feature is that you got to choose the type of voice you wanted to speak the directions to you. So I chose the female voice with a British accent. Loved her. Yet sometimes I was disobedient to her instructions. I would take the wrong exit, thinking my will was better than her will. My thoughts were better than her thoughts. And when that would happen, she wouldn't hang me out to dry. No matter how many times I disobeyed, she wouldn't say, enough of this, I've had it with you. Or you really screwed up that one. I knew about that car accident. Or that roadblock when you had no clue, but you didn't trust me, so I'm done. No, this is what she'd say. Rerouting. 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 Actually, rerouting. Rerouting. She was British, after all. The point is, before I knew it, she had created a brand new way for me to get back on track heading to my destination. You see where I'm going with this, right? Our God makes a way. Our God is so gracious that when we get off track, God starts to reroute our life. How many times have you said, this was not part of the plan? This was not supposed to happen. Whether it was through your own fault or circumstances beyond your control. How many times have you regretted something you did? It damaged a relationship. Or maybe you chose a path that in hindsight felt like a monumental mistake. Or still feels like a monumental mistake. And it's painful. There's no question about it. The good news is that our God is a way maker. And as Christians, we are people of the way. That's what members of the early church were called, people of the way. We embark on that way at baptism, and the destination is abundant life with Jesus, plain and simple. And no, you may not experience that abundant life with the people you thought you would, or in the career you thought you would, or in the geographic location you thought you would, or maybe even in the body you thought you would. I know some of you are struggling with physical hardship, but our God will deliver no matter what. Jesus will deliver on that promise of joy and purpose and meaning beyond measure. So may you walk in his way, stand in his truth, and may we all come to the Father through abundant life in Christ. Amen.